So, after podcasting for so long, I'm sure I can be honest. Well, I'm usually honest, so I don't know why I'm acting like I haven't been honest. But basically, the reason why there's been such a delay in me covering the wedding episodes of Love is Blind is because I have not felt like I've wanted to record these episodes because I have not watched the entire episodes. I only fast forwarded to the weddings to see what people said at the altar, like literally fast forwarded until both or all of the couples were at the altar. So I didn't care to sit through the entire episodes. I do want to see the Bachelor and the Bachelorette party. I do plan on watching the episodes eventually, but I honestly don't know when that will be. I just didn't care. I didn't care about all the backstory that they show leading up to the weddings. I just want to know who got married. And so I watched the episodes like right when they dropped. I think I watched the first one when it dropped at midnight and probably episode 11 the next day, but it wasn't in me. I didn't have it in me to record this episode. I didn't have it in me. And I do feel like I've paid my dues, considering how long I've podcasted, to not cover something immediately if I'm not feeling it. So what's so weird though is that for me to talk about the weddings, considering that I watched the reunion, so the reunion came on at 1 p.m. my time, and I started watching it at about 1:20 my time. So I watched it like within the hour, within minutes of it coming out, and I will get to that later. Because after I record this, I will be rewatching the reunion and recording that episode. I know I said I was going to record this episode right after I did episode 9, but I had to go to bed. It was super late that night. Anyway, so this is not going to be my best episode. I'm just going to say that up top. And it's not going to be my longest episode because I don't know. It's fun to watch these shows as a fan. It really deflates your enthusiasm and love of the show when you're watching it as someone who's reporting on it. It just does. Like, I kind of just want to watch it as entertainment. And before I started recording this episode, I was thinking to myself, I heard really good things about Love is Blind Sweden and Love is Blind Mexico. Now, Love is Blind Mexico is very, very recent. Love is Blind Sweden is X amount of months old. And I thought to myself, like, I would love to watch those and recap those, but then I really don't know how many of y'all watch Love is Blind Mexico. But I do want to watch it. I do. I can't speak to whether I'll recap it or not, but the reason why I want to watch it is for the cultural differences. I know that a lot of there are big cultural differences, okay? So, without saying more on that, I want to watch it. I guess we will see if I recap it. Anyways, so like I said, this is not going to be a long, detailed episode. You guys watched the show. You know what happened. I give spoilers, so if you didn't watch it, don't want to know what happened, don't listen. So I'm just going to go in order of the couples at the altar. So we have Steven and Sabrina. So they are the hottest couple. As I've said early on, I think Sabrina is beautiful. I think she's a natural beauty. I think she is so adorable. Steven, he is hot as fuck. He is sexy. He cleans up well. He has big red, luscious, thick lips. Like, he probably really knows how to fuck. Like, I mean, Steven gives me knows how to fuck, will break your back vibes. And Sabrina's just so cute. Oh, I just feel like they have amazing sex. Like, I just feel that in my core, you know? Sometimes you look at a couple and you're like, okay, they're fucking well. Like, they are each other's match. They match each other's freak. Like, you just get that vibe from couples sometimes. And other times you're like, this is probably really bad. Or is that just me? Or am I the only one who looks at a couple and can tell if they fuck well or not together? Not can tell, sorry, can guess. Or does everybody guess? Actually, I take that back. I don't give a shit if people guess or not. I enjoy guessing if a couple knows how, if they're good together in bed. So anyway, I just love Sabrina and Steven, and everybody did. And they started the series with Sabrina and Steven, and then they featured Sabrina and Steven on the fucking very first couple to get married on episode 10. Like, Netflix, Love is Blind UK was behind this beautiful couple. All right. I'm gonna leave it at that. So I didn't see much leading up to it, or I saw none of the footage leading up to it, as I said. I just skipped to them at the altar and was so happy and excited and thrilled and like, yes, the couple I wanted to get married got married. This is why I watched this show. So I was excited. I was happy. Next, we have Tom and Maria. So Tom says no to Maria, and Tom promises, or he promised Maria's mom that he will treat her well or whatever. He made promises to her mom. I know this from the other podcast or whatever that I listened to, or YouTube, sorry, that I watched about episodes 10 and 11. So Tom started when they said, Tom, do you take Maria? He said, I love you. And this is the very first season of Love is Blind where every single person who said, I love you, when they were asked if they wanted to marry someone, said no. We don't do that shit in America. We are cold-blooded. We are cutthroat. We don't give a shit. Love is Blind, literally, there has never, ever been an American season of Love is Blind where everyone who says no says, I love you before they reject the person. It just hasn't happened. So anyway, so Tom, it was super obvious to me at the altar that he was going to say no because I thought that his vows to Maria were very empty and very basic. They were not deep, heartfelt, emotional, whereas hers were more emotional. And then his face and body language just screamed no before he even answered the question. The acting on this season, when it came to people at the altar, the acting was really terrible. We pretty much knew what people were going to say. And Love is Blind loves to be suspenseful. They love to have a long ass pause when people are at the altar. But it's like we already knew a lot of times how things were going to go. So at the altar, Tom says, I love, quote, I love you. I just feel like right now is not the right time for me. We've had some differences in values, and I haven't really had enough time to really understand how those differences would affect our life day to day. Maria's mom looks so shocked. Maria's mom is so cute. She is just so cute. So Maria starts crying. Tom kisses Maria's hand and he walks out. Everyone is stunned. Maria looks incredibly humiliated. Her hair looks so beautiful. Her makeup looks very nice, very demure, very mindful. So Maria says she feels incredibly sad and she doesn't know what to say because she's shocked. And then after Tom walks out, Tom speaks to the camera crew and Tom says that he doesn't want his son to grow up paying for everything. And he doesn't want his daughter to expect a man to pay for everything. He would want to raise his daughter to be a strong, independent woman that contributes herself. This is one of the few times in all the seasons of Love is Blind where I've been extremely upset by what someone said in their exit interview. Tom, from the moment that Tom, a few things happened here. Tom's fight with Maria about her being a makeup artist, their disagreement, I think that was a turning point. And I was kind of on Tom's side with that. As I've said before, everybody judges people based on their occupation. However, it's like, I don't know why he doesn't understand, like, that makeup artists, they really are out here crushing it. I don't know what his opinion of makeup artists are, but they're talented and they crush it and they run so many industries. So I didn't really understand the criticism for Maria's occupation, but I understood what he was saying when he's like, yeah, everybody judges people based off of their occupation. I think that was a turning point for Tom, but I think the biggest turning point, that was a turning point for Tom. Maria going to Tom and saying, you know how I paid for breakfast? My mom wouldn't like that. Maria was using her mom when Maria wanted to say, I do not like that you allowed me to pay for breakfast, because her mom had nothing to do with it. Her mom probably wouldn't like the things that they were doing in bed either. Like, why isn't she mentioning that? Like, Maria did not like that she asked if Tom wanted to pay for breakfast. He said yes, and she paid. And I think that was a big turning point for him as well, because again, I'm on his side with that. Why are we together if you're offering to pay for something, you pay for it, and it's a problem. And then you're mentioning your parent and what your parent would think. That has shit to do with the relationship. But the biggest turning point for Tom was when he met Tosh, because Tom's assumption for Tosh is that he wasn't going to be sexually attracted to her. And, you know, that's super important. And so he had to let her go because he felt like they were more friends than on a romantic level. So Tom is very conceited. He's very cocky. He's okay. He's nothing special to look at. But if he thinks he's so amazing and so great and he has this high powered position, and a podcaster said it and it was so funny, I totally agree. They were like, anybody who says they have a high powered position does not have a high powered position. Like, nobody who actually does would say that phrase. But Tom is a conceited asshole. A lot of British men are conceited assholes. And I really, when you see how humiliated Maria was, it makes me hate this show. You know, Love is Blind is really incredible for bringing people together, but who needs to be embarrassed, humiliated to this extent for so many people to see? And it was written, like, all across Maria's face. As I've said, with other shows, they reject somebody pre-wedding. They break up pre-wedding. They dump somebody before. They don't do this shit at the fucking altar, at an actual ceremony. Even The Bachelor and Bachelorette, when people let people go, when they propose to them, that is not at a wedding in front of their friends and family. Like, Love is Blind, really, they are doing the most when it comes to how people are rejected at weddings in front of their friends and family. Like, it's, I love the show, but it is so cruel. But as I said, the turning point for Tom, I think, was the makeup artist discussion, Maria mentioning she paid for breakfast. Also, I'm also on Tom's side because Maria's trying to act like it's a crime for her to pay some rent because she's paying his mortgage. And if they break up, she will have paid his mortgage. Yeah, bitch, that's how it works. You pay rent when you're with somebody and you stop paying rent when you ain't with somebody. I don't think because she has a vagina that should stop her from contributing. It, like, that was so weird to me. It makes you look like a gold digger. It makes you look like an opportunist. It is odd. Very odd. I don't want to help him pay because if we break up, yeah, that's how it goes. So, I'm with Tom on the aforementioned details. I am not with Tom when he says that he doesn't want his son to expect to pay for everything, and he wants his daughter to be a strong, independent woman that contributes herself. Okay, full stop. A lot of men like paying for things. And if a man has the means to pay for things, just like if a woman has a means to pay for things, that should be their own decision. And I do not believe that somebody who watches their dad or their mom paying for everything wants to mimic that behavior, nor is that a possibility for them to mimic that behavior if they don't have the means. So it's just a very unfounded bullshit view. It's not based in any fact. How many of us watched someone pay for everything? Let's say we watch someone pay for everything and we don't got 2 cents to rub together. Then what do you got to say, Tom? And what if your son is with a woman who out earns him and the woman pays for everything? What do you got to say then, Tom? Like, it's just a dumb thing to say. Then getting to the woman, him saying that he wants his daughter to be a strong, independent woman that contributes herself. You could be a strong, independent woman and you could be with a partner who pays for things. It's not that black or white where just because his daughter, his non-existent daughter, either makes a lot of money or doesn't make a lot of money, that she cannot contribute or that she wouldn't want to contribute and that she would not actually contribute. Like, he made so many, like, incredulous leaps, nonsensical leaps. You could be a strong, independent woman, which, first of all, why do you got to be a strong, independent woman in the first place by his definition? His definition is he wants his girl to be opening up her wallet. When a lot, not only do a lot of men not want that or not allow it, why can't your son decide if he wants to pay? Why can't your daughter decide if she wants to pay? Your kids are not going to be mimicking your behavior. It's all based upon their relationship. So he could have a daughter who wants to pay for everything and she's with a man who doesn't want to. So there she pays for nothing. Or she'd be with a man who wants her to pay for everything. And if she has the means, then she could pay for everything. It's so sexist, I believe. It's misogynistic or misogynist, I believe as well, to just try to reduce a woman to being quote unquote, essentially saying that a woman is weak. She's not strong. She's not independent if she's with a man who pays for things. That's how some people like to express their love, by paying for things. Does Tom pay for shit in his relationships? Like, it's making me wonder, like, I need to know more about his past relationships. Does he expect to go 50-50? What's going on? Tom saying no, I think, had a lot more to do with, I think everything I mentioned was a big part of it, but I also believe that once he saw Tosh, he kind of thought, I think I want to be in these streets a bit more. I mean, this man annoys the shit out of me. Tom is not cute enough to be acting this way. He's just not. I'm sorry. It's like, if you were sexy in saying this, maybe I would be like, okay, he's not so bad. But Tom is a dime a dozen, bitch. Like, I hate that that's Maria's storyline. I hate that Maria's storyline is basically she got dumped because she's a gold digger, which she's not. I think that Maria needs to rethink her approach to relationships and be very upfront and say, I don't want to pay for your mortgage. If you don't want to pay for somebody's mortgage, get a property together then, bitch. Do not offer to pay for breakfast if that's a problem. Do not mention your mom. Like, figure out how you're going to behave in your relationships and what your expectations are so that you're on the same page. Because it's going to be a challenge for you to be with a man who wants to pay for everything while you sit there and do nothing in some regards. Or when you're a homemaker, you have to find that man. And sometimes when a man is paying for everything, he has all the control if he's paying and or the woman isn't making any money. So a woman should, or woman, man, whomever, should have their own bank account. They should have their own bread. They should be in a position where they can pick up and leave if necessary versus having to stay with somebody else so they could eat. So Tom and Maria is 30 years old when the show filmed. I assume she's 31 now, and I hope that she finds her person. I just feel like she should really find someone similar to her, or sorry, who believes the things that she does, so she doesn't have to go down this road again. Because she's gonna butt heads with people if she really is trying to be hands off with paying for shit like breakfast. Next, we got Demi and Ollie. So, Demi, I again, as you know, I didn't really watch, but I heard from other people who recap. Demi said that Ollie did not contact her since they left Greece. Or sorry, since they left the apartment in London. So I think Ollie didn't contact Demi so that Demi would say no. And I think that's a genius plan of his. It fucking worked. Because Demi said no at the altar, and Ollie said, "What?" Now, I love Demi so much for this. I think she is a queen for this. Now, I loved Deep D's speech. Everybody loved Deep D's speech. But Demi was not with Shake. Shake was talking shit about Deep D the whole time, complaining he's not attracted to her. Ollie presented himself as someone who wanted to be with her. But Demi is smart enough to realize that he was just performative. I always had an issue with Demi and Ollie not sleeping together. Because I'm like, I don't like, Ollie does not give me vibes of a man who does not have a one-night stand, of a man who does not hook up. I don't get that impression from Ollie at all. So why is he not trying to fuck his fiance? I think he didn't want to fuck her. But then Ollie is on an interview with Jesse Wu where he's really explaining like he was attracted to Demi and he's been with women like Demi. So, and he likes a woman with meat on her bones and he doesn't like white women. So I just don't, if he was attracted to her, and I'm not doubting that, I don't like that he didn't want to fuck her. Like, that doesn't make you feel very attractive as a woman. So, I think that Ollie was really seeing where his mind and heart were at and really seeing if he could be with Demi. And I don't think Ollie would have said yes. I think he would have gone through with it. But I do kind of believe that this would have been a starter marriage. I don't really know if they would really stand the test of time. Because I don't know how fully serious and committed Ollie was to getting married at that time. But Demi is a so bright, and she's such an icon and a role model for this because the amount of women who would have said yes to Ollie simply because they felt that he was more conventionally attractive and that they weren't going to find anyone else who looked as good and who wanted to be with them and that they would be alone because they're not stereotypically. They're not, you know, a tiny size or whatever. And Demi was like, absolutely not. This is not what I want. I fucking love this bitch. Like, Demi, I'm sorry. Like, her confidence level is so high. Like I just said, so many women would have been happy to accept crumbs from Ollie, but Demi is not that bitch. And she figured out that he isn't all in. And the fact that, like, I feel like so many people said that he didn't like her, he liked her, he didn't like her, he liked her, he liked her, they didn't know if he liked her, that he likes her sometimes, he doesn't like, you're supposed to be certain of how somebody feels. And the fact that, like, everybody was uncertain of how Ollie felt about Demi, then there you go, there's your answer. And then at the end, Aaron, who made sure to be in every fucking scene, he was like, oh, do you feel relieved? He's like, yeah, I kind of do feel relieved. How would you feel if your fiance said that they felt relieved that you said no to them at the altar? Like, Demi is so smart to pick up on this. And someone was saying Demi seems so annoyed at the altar the whole time. And I don't know. But all I know is when I watched it, the first time I remember, like, Ollie had really long vows and we barely heard anything. So, I mean, I wish Netflix wouldn't cut that shit. I'd rather hear all of the vows. So, a shout out to Demi, queen. Queen, bitch, queen. And I think this is so good for her brand. Honestly, for her future. Like, now I'm really interested to see who she's going to end up with. And she is so beautiful. Like, Demi needs to keep her hair dark. Demi needs to keep her hair straight. Like, Demi, bitch, don't you dare go back to fucking light-colored ass hair. You look so fucking hot. Next, we got Jasmine and Bobby. So, I always was kind of standing Jasmine and Bobby. And so many people were like, ooh, she said she doesn't like guys like this. I'm gonna watch them. I'm gonna keep my eyes on them. Pay attention. It's like, why are people such haters? I always believed in these two. But I heard so many people having doubts that a small part of me had a little bit of doubts as well. But I just always believed in their love. I felt that it was palpable. And I also said, like, women like Jasmine, they're tired of the fuckboys. They want a man who's going to dote on them. And that's who Bobby is. They look so good together. I also love Jasmine with dark hair. Like, women need to lay off of lightening their hair sometimes. I know that's like the stand, like, it brings you closer to whiteness. The lighter your hair is, the blonder. Like, it's not for everybody though. It looked good on the show. Her light hair looked good on the show, but I do enjoy Jasmine with dark hair. I do. I've always thought she was very pretty. I wonder what her dad's ethnicity is, because I feel like she's half white, but then she's probably full Filipino. I can't place it. Love to see what her dad looks like. But anyway, I love Jasmine and Bobby. Now, Jasmine announced that they've been trying for a baby. Do you want to know how many brands are in that bitch's DMs right now? You want to know how many brands slid up in them DMs? Like, she is set. She don't got to buy shit for that baby. I know Bliss monetized the shit out of her pregnancy. I see Jasmine doing the same. I see Jasmine running hella ads on her fucking Instagram. Like, I hope so. Go ahead. Why else be on these shows? But what I've noticed is the people on these shows, they are knocking all the deals that they used to. When you went on Love is Blind before, you had like a good 6-8 month run of ads. And now I feel like they get 2 months of ads, maybe three. And I think these brands realize, like, it's not working. It's not effective. So next couple we got is Nicole and Benaiah. Nicole's dad is not at the wedding. He's like, look, I did this before, ain't doing it again. And then Benaiah's mom and sister also were not at the wedding. That's really gross. F y'all. Like, this is an important day. F y'all. I hope Nicole and Benaiah could have a second wedding where their family is actually present. So, we already knew what the hell Benaiah was going to say. Benaiah has been so obsessed with Nicole. So, he said yes. Like, Benaiah thinks Nicole is the most beautiful, amazing woman in the world. And I love it. It warms my heart how into her he is. And Nicole was looking unsure at the altar. Other people said it. Nicole said yes. I think Nicole just has a kind of a face. I think Nicole kind of has a, like, an I don't know kind of face. I don't think we need to read too much into it. They seem happy. They seem happy. So then we have Kat and Freddie. Shout out to Netflix for taking the abusive, toxic ass couple and saving their wedding for last. The way how editors know we all despise Kat and Freddie with a passion and we would throw our TVs out the window if they got married. So they knew that. So they were like, guess what, bitches? Y'all about to wait until the end of the fucking last episode. So Kat says yes. Freddie says no. Oh, I'm telling you, I think my heart was racing. I was like so frozen, so nervous. I love that Freddie looked at his sister. I love that they're so close. Like, Freddie's family is fucking incredible. Easily one of the best families in Love is Blind history. And Love is Blind has incredibly wonderful families. You like, seriously, I think 85% of the families on Love is Blind are amazing, if not perfect. So for them, for Freddie's family to be in that top tier of Love is Blind couples, or sorry, families, is a huge accomplishment. He looks at his twin, like, beautiful sister, like, their resemblance is really strong. And I just felt like he looked at her like, bitch, I'ma listen to you. I'm listening to you. I'm not gonna marry this cunt. So I love that Freddie's brother said, Freddie, I didn't watch it, but I saw like a little clip. Like, all of it is just so moving. Freddie, I started following the man on Instagram because I'm sorry. Like, I enjoy his face. I enjoy his body. I need it. I love seeing him on my fucking phone screen. The man is gorgeous. Where is his nude photo spreads? Like, where are the campaigns? Like, where is the OnlyFans? Freddie is one of the few people who I would sign up to watch their OnlyFans. So anyway, Freddie said no to Kat. I hope he's been spreading his dick around. I hope I have a chance. I'm so happy for Freddie. And Freddie, I saw like he was hanging out with Benaiah. I love that they're friends. That's one of the things that people don't mention enough about this show is that it really creates friendship among the cast members. There's so many beautiful things about Love is Blind. So I am happy for Demi saying no. I'm happy for Jasmine and Bobby saying yes. I'm happy for Nicole and Benaiah saying yes. I was happy for Steven and Sabrina getting married. I'm happy that Maria doesn't have to put up with Tom because he's probably a real pain in the ass. And I'm happy for Demi and Ollie. They're both going to be with somebody. We'll get to that later. And I'm so happy for Freddie. And I'm happy that Kat presented herself as an asshole because it's going to be hard for her to find a good man. She needs to work on herself. All right, y'all. That's it. I'm going to rewatch the reunion. So hopefully, I'm not going to make a promise this time. I will be recording that episode and I plan on releasing it these episodes one day apart. So I know a lot of you will need some time to watch a reunion as well. So I will be releasing this episode tonight, and then I will be releasing the reunion, my reunion recap tomorrow. Or maybe it'll be less than 2 days apart, whatever, or a day apart. Who cares? I will talk to you soon. Bye.